Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Mirsky & Company podcast, bringing you in-depth analysis on trending legal issues in media, new media, intellectual property, and privacy. My name is Andrew Mirsky. I am principal of Mirsky & Company PLLC, a Washington, D.C. law firm with a practice in new media, as well as intellectual property, technology, and nonprofits. In today's podcast, we're discussing street art, which evidently isn't just your grandfather's graffiti anymore. Street art has lately been in the news, particularly because of several prominent copyright infringement cases, and most notably fallout, well, actually it ended positively, but fallout from the 2008 President Obama Hope posters, which we'll mention briefly in a few moments. And joining me today to discuss copyright issues, but also fair use and street art in general, what is street art and all that, I'm joined by Brooke Jimenez. Brooke is a second-year law student at Georgetown University Law Center with a focus in international law and an interest in media law. Brooke, I just want to say hello. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Andy.
We're also joined, as always, by the producer of our podcast, Thomas Yarnell, who works with my firm, and he is the research and social media director. Okay, let's begin with what is street art, and what you know, when you're talking about street art, you're potentially talking about a lot of things, including performance art, music, sculpture, lots of things. And we're also talking about it, particularly in the context of these cases, like painting and stuff like that. So what, when you talk about in these cases, what do you think of when you're talking about street art, Brooke?
You know, I think it's become an art that, for the masses, they're able to approach it and view it and appreciate it. And we even see now new trends of 3D pavement illusions and manhole art, even circuit box art, which I think no one ever is excited to see a circuit box, but the whole concept is to make people laugh looking at these types of art or to just be amusing and ironic. Sure. And so I think there's a lots of new ways that people are exploring how to create fun and inventive street art, but at the same time, we can look back and see that the Berlin Wall also had a lot of graffiti that was, or painting, that was more representative of the sentiment of the people than I think what we would classify as just general graffiti on a wall. So I don't know what is the definition of street art, but I think there's room to interpret it.
Yeah, so you raise the point about graffiti, and that comes up a lot in distinctions. I think we should also discuss why defining the term as street art is important, and it comes up in a lot of contexts here. But put it this way, is there an actual meaningful, practical distinction among the different forms of street art? You mentioned quite a few of them there. Put it another way. Let's quote Wikipedia for a second. Wikipedia says street art is, and this is a quote, all art on the street that's not graffiti. So that's a pretty big bucket, don't you think? So the question becomes, do you think that's a meaningful, practical distinction? I mean, what is graffiti? You just mentioned the Berlin Wall. Why do you think, or do you, that graffiti, if you even have an opinion on this, why is graffiti not street art? I mean, use the example of the Berlin Wall. It actually might be a very good example.
I mean, do I think it's practical? No. And I think it obviously makes it confusing as to what would fall in the bucket, because then the individual determination would be very subjective in the end, I think. But I think maybe part of the point of it may even be the lack of clarity that's shrouding the art. I think it gives it a different level, and I think the actors involved might appreciate that. I think that there is no finite definition, and I think that street art is an innovative art influenced by graffiti and that whole underground street subculture that, you know, has suddenly made it to the mainstream. And though it's criticized in a lot of ways, I think it's newly praised and marveled at. But I don't know what the practical distinction would be.
Yeah, that art history, particularly political art history, is rampant with cases where somebody in a position of authority makes a decision on what is art and what is not art, but we'll talk about that in a second. Let's quote again from Wikipedia. Traditional graffiti also has increasingly been adopted as a method for advertising. Its trajectory has even in some cases led its artists to work on contract as graphic artists for corporations. Oh, my God. Perish the thought. Nevertheless, this is the important part of the quote. Street art is a label often adopted by artists who wish to keep their work unaffiliated and strongly political. And I don't think that's certainly not a legal definition, but that might be a practical definition. So the question is that really the distinction? Street art is an unaffiliated art. It's not so much a commercial art. Street art, so those whose work is largely done without official approval in public areas. I think that's what the kind of stuff we're talking about. For these reasons, street art is sometimes considered post-graffiti and sometimes even neo-graffiti. You want to comment on that?
Just in general, we've accepted the idea of graffiti in reference to young kids involved in vandalism, or where the purpose is to tag for a particular gang and to mark some type of territory. But so maybe the distinction here is that it is more of a type of art where the artists are trying to disaffiliate but really create a strong political note. But then at the same time, I feel like it is a type of art where you'll have, like, the Banksy effect is this one effect where you're afraid that because this art is becoming so popular that others are going to strive to do the same type of art. And I don't know, I think there's a rational concern that, you know, these future artists might not have the same strong political sentiments, but really be more or less about promoting themselves. And on the same note, I think that a lot of these more notorious street artists have become affiliated with their work, and it may be part of self-promotion.
Next obvious question is, because why is this suddenly in the news? You know, what are street artists doing suddenly, if they're doing anything suddenly, that's raising legal concerns? I the most obvious one is copyright. Is this new? I mean, is this the issue of copyright and the legal issues involved been around a while? I mean, Andy Warhol was decades ago. There are a number of artists who were sued over things they allegedly took from other artists. But why suddenly with street art?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mentioned Banksy before, and I think you're right to note that it's...
Oh, Banksy, yeah.
Banksy, right. And all we really know is that he's from Bristol, so it creates this type of intrigue. But at the same time, him coming into the limelight like this, I think we're seeing these new copyright infringement and legal issues arise because these people are becoming more and more famous. And he, for example, had done an Andy Warhol painting in the past, kind of like an ironic type note on it. Right. He had no lawsuit about it. But I think just these artists being in the limelight is creating more attention. Before, there was no positive identification of who these people were. Part of it's just incredible for the timing restrictions that these artists have, you know, to work at night and conditions, being at dangerous heights and all these things. So all these things contribute to lack of knowledge who the actual artists are. So you can't really hold anyone liable.
Well, let's talk about that. And this whole issue came up, and you had suggested it to me in a conversation we had about the Oscar documentary, Exit Through the Gift Shop, and that had been a documentary about Mr. Brainwash. That also involved Run DMC. You want to talk about that case?
Yes, of course. At about the end of 2009, Glenn Freeman, a photographer for the Associated Press, sues Mr. Brainwash, or a French immigrant by the name of Thierry Guetta, for appropriating one of his photos of this 1990s band called Run DMC. And basically, the allegation is that the copyright photo was taken by Guetta, and that he made derivatives without consent.
The copyright photo was taken by Guetta, or the original photo was taken by Friedman, right?
Right. No, I mean, he appropriated the photo into different derivatives, allegedly onto different types of artwork and T-shirts and postcards.
Right.
But yes, Friedman was the photographer who has
the copyright. How did this become such a big deal?
Well, see, that's the thing. I think that you're right to bring the issue about the notoriety and the money that these artists are falling into, and I would imagine they're only the top, most popular street artists, the ones that are known. But, for example, Thierry Guetta did have an exhibit in 2008 where it was his debut exhibit, and it was called Life is Beautiful, but in that he did have his art piece of Run DMC, which is the work that Friedman is alleging that he appropriated. And in that, you know, he did receive a lot of profits from the exhibit. So I think the fact that these photographers know that these street artists are coming into profitable income from these works, I think makes the issue of a lawsuit, you know, plausible.
So there's suddenly fame and money involved.
Correct.
Yeah. So to my original question was, like, what's new? It's like, in a sense, there's nothing new. I mean, there's still street artists even the ones in lawsuits, are still doing pretty much what street artists have been doing forever, which is the same, you know, often the same types and mediums of art, but also doing derivative things with previous artwork and sometimes copyrighted stuff. Usually, though, it sort of was taken for granted as you know, part of the just the culture of street art. There was a piece in the art newspaper, which is the www.theartnewspaper.com, which said, while street art's predisposition towards copying, sampling, and riffing on pre-existing imagery may have a historical art precedent in pop art, its underground status has, until now, largely protected it from litigation. And maybe that's really what the distinction is. It's been kind of legal to say it, but it's, you know, it's just been sort of underground. It's been below the radar. It really hasn't involved a lot of money or attention or anything. And now suddenly you have people like some of the people we've talked about today really in the news.
And what's funny is, yeah, the political note, but then at the same time, Banksy is notorious for, you know, really putting Hollywood down and criticizing Hollywood in so many ways, and yet Hollywood wants to take part in it, and he just had an exhibition in L.A. where he, like, quote-unquote, vandalized the warehouse and had an extravaganza, and yet you have big money coming in wanting to enjoy, you know, the artwork.
Right.
And so I think it's just with this fame and this newfound money that, you know, provides for these new lawsuits.
Yeah, let's get right to the legal issues involved, because I mean, legal issues aren't new, and the fact that there are legal issues involved itself isn't new. It's just sort of in many other contexts of fair use arguments, which is what they would have to argue. You know, people frequently argue fair use by virtue of simple fact, I didn't make any money using it, so therefore it should have been a fair use. You know, I know that that's not legally, that's not the law, but it also, practically speaking, and it sometimes is the law, because sort of that's like, if just to be blunt, if there's no money involved, no one really cares particularly. No one expropriating something for commercial value, and that's sort of thought of as not something to get concerned about.
And when it was subculture underground, no one was willing to pay or interested in paying that type of money or paying any attention to it, really.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, Andy Warhol was sued, and that was decades ago.
Sorry.
Robert Rauschenberg was sued. The art newspaper, it's interesting, they mention a case involving a photographer named Richard Prince, who is the defendant in a copyright infringement case brought against him by another photographer. His name is Patrick Cario. Cario claims that Prince lifted one of Cario's photos of Rastafarian culture for a series of paintings that Prince did entitled The Canal Zone. And Prince defended his use in this case, is defending because it's a current lawsuit, with three arguments, largely fair use arguments. One is he says it was fair use because, for the same reasons we've been talking about all along, street art, it's derivative, it's new, it's transformative, and so forth. Second argument is that, and this is a very interesting one, the copyrighted photographs are not, according to Prince, strikingly original or distinctive in nature. And that's a reference to the kind of copyright argument that is sometimes made in a fair use case, that this kind of copyrighted material isn't even the subject of copyright, because it shouldn't be protected by copyright, because it's more like factual items or dates or scientific things that wouldn't normally get copyright protection, or if they did, it would get only weak copyright protection, and making a fair use argument in defense of them or use of them is more likely to succeed. My last couple questions to you, Brooke, about this is the fair use argument. Isn't that really the gist, and particularly the argument that's, you know, these are established artistic practices? That was actually a quote from Prince's defense. Isn't that really the gist of what street artists have been saying all along and what they're still saying today to defend what they're doing?
Yeah, I would say that would be correct, that it's for the people, that they're not profiting from just what they desire to express. And perhaps maybe we weren't seeing that many allegations of copyright infringement before, too, or even thoughts of it, because before it wasn't as distinctively represented as copyrighted art, like the Obama Hope portrait. Like, that was very much, it resembled very much the photo that Shepard Fairey had taken. And so, but yeah, in this new light where you're selling millions of Hope t-shirts and all these things, it's a new ball game.
Yeah, it's not, that's quite not part of the established artistic practice, I guess is what you're saying. And the last point I wanted to make had to do with this point I made earlier about who's deciding what is street art. I mean, I asked you for your, you know, we talked about what it is. So we talked about what is the practical distinction between street art and, for lack of a better term, what is not street art. And then, you know, one of, this is a Wikipedia quote, but you see it in sort of a lot of discussions. All art on the street that's not graffiti.
And I think the street artists themselves have definitions for what is street art. So maybe it's their definitions that we're hearing as well. But who is to give the proper definition, I don't know. But then at the same time, we have city murals, and even a lot of communities are dedicating community walls to a type of street art that's desired and not illegal, and basically offering a wall to artists who want to share. And so, I don't know, I think this is a new
isn't that a decision by the city or the community to decide to bless this art?
Right, no, that's true. And
yeah,
most street art is definitely done of the artist's free will. So it is different, but I mean, we're seeing a newfound appreciation, so maybe we'll just see a new shape forming of what is street art in the near future as well.
Yeah. Let's wrap up because we're kind of out of time. I want to thank you, Brooke, for joining us today, and this is great. We hope to have you on the podcast again soon. I also want to thank our podcast producer, Thomas Yarnell. I am, again, Andrew Mirsky. You can reach me at 202-339-0303 or Andy at Mirsky Legal, M-I-R-S-K-Y, legal.com. My guest again today was Brooke Jimenez from Georgetown Law Center. Her email address at Georgetown is baj35@law.georgetown.edu. We referenced a bunch of websites on here, including manhole art, wall art, pavement art, and a lot of other things, which we will have links to on the written intro to the podcast. Thank you all for listening today, and we hope you'll join us next week.